Hello and welcome to another episode of Half Court Press. He's Wilson Moore. I'm John Walker. It is Thursday, February 5th. Thanks for joining us. Wilson, we have quite a bit to talk about, man.
We do. Some things are different.
A lot of things are the same. Some things are the same in the worst of ways. Nebraska has finally lost a basketball game after all this time. Went nearly a calendar year without losing a game, and the Huskers finally go down after a 20-0 start. Meanwhile, Creighton's slide continues. The Jays have now lost three straight, including some ugly ones. I guess three straight losses is ugly to begin with, but whereas Greg McDermott teams usually get better this time of year, these Jays coming down the stretch of the regular season are still trying to find themselves. Yeah. We're going to talk about the Huskers. We're going to talk about the Jays and a whole lot more. But before we dive into all of that, Wilson, how the heck are you, man?
I'm pretty good. I need a haircut.
Yeah, that's, me too.
Yeah. You do?
I don't have much to cut. But
I mean, I think people watching like the video version of this kit
make a very there's a very noticeable difference.
Yeah, and like just the amount of hair that each of us has.
Yes.
Yeah.
Balding, not bald, as Dan Hurley would say.
That's one thing, like if I like start going bald at some point, I'm gonna get like the medication. Like I'm fighting it.
Hims or
whatever it is. I don't know. It's just like
go to Turkey.
Yeah, I could do that. Like you know,
went from haircuts to hair transplants.
I mean, you know, I feel like when you have red hair, like me, it's kind of part of your identity.
Sure.
Like if someone's describing what I look like, they're like, oh yeah, like the redhead guy, the ginger guy. Like,
sure, sure.
You know, so like if I were to lose that, I would feel like I would lose part of my identity. So I'd fight the natural order on that one.
Okay. Speaking of red, let's talk about Big Red.
Let's talk about him.
The Huskers started 20-0, ran the table, started 9-0 in Big East or in Big Ten play. Why are both leagues the big something? You know,
there's so many leagues.
There's so many leagues that are the big something. In Big Ten play, the Huskers started 9-0 before they and you, Wilson, went to Ann Arbor. Not that you played or anything, but maybe you did. I don't know. They could have used your help that day because the Huskers were down two starters or two very important pieces in Rinkmast and in Braden Frager, and still almost won the Dern basketball game. The Huskers lose 75-72 to one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to unpack from that, which was only a week and 2 days ago. It feels like so much longer ago.
So much changes.
Yeah. I guess we can start with the big picture thing, which this applies to that Michigan game and it applies to the Illinois game a few days later, which is just the sky isn't falling.
No, you know, no,
like Nebraska, there's the last team to go undefeated like through a college basketball season was Indiana in 1976. Teams do not do this. Teams lose games throughout the course of a college basketball season.
Northwest Missouri State did it in 2018-19.
Excuse me, the last Division I team.
Go Cats.
Anyway.
Anyway.
You know, and Nebraska lost to two of the best teams, not just in the Big Ten, but in the country.
Absolutely.
I think both of these teams are legitimate national title contenders. I think Illinois might even be better than Michigan.
You had them number one in your Big Ten power
rankings. Yeah. Illinois, if Jamarcus Lawrence hadn't hit that shot in Champaign, Illinois' last loss would be on November 28th. They would be on a 15-game winning streak
That's nuts.
Undefeated in Big Ten. In Big Ten play. By the way, that Illinois-Michigan game on February 27th is going to rock, but that's not the point. Nebraska lost to a couple pretty good teams. In terms of the Michigan game itself, yeah, obviously it's easy to wonder how would that have gone different with Rinkmast and Braden Frager out there.
But you can't really dwell on that.
No, you can't. You know, Mast tried to give it a go. He talked today for the first time since then and gave some details of like he had nothing in the tank. Like it was like the night before that it really started to come on and he like warmed up and tried to give it a go and just ultimately
was not
didn't have anything. Like you could see it like in his face when he showed up like for warmups. Like he looked like a guy who hadn't slept all night. He estimated he threw up about 15 times the night before.
That's not fun.
Yeah, no. So like he tried to give it a go and just didn't have it in him. You can't fault him for that.
No.
But Nebraska, I think with those two out, a lot of people thought like, oh, Michigan's just going to handle Nebraska. Nebraska fought pretty admirably. Jamarcus Lawrence hit some shots in the first half. Price Sanford did his thing. I thought Cale Jacobson had maybe the best game of his season against Michigan. He was fantastic on both ends. Like he was steady on offense and he was kind of, I thought the kind of the catalyst on defense on just activity and hand activity and getting in gaps and passing lanes. He was great. And Nebraska led for most of the game. And then they made one basket in the last 5:54, I believe 5:54, 5:53, something like that. And
it's really, really hard to win a basketball game like that.
Yeah. You're especially on the road, especially against a team as good as Michigan. And I know there was a lot said about the officiating and, you know, the play when it looked like it looked like Sam Hoiberg had established position and should have drawn a charge and they didn't call it. And you can say whatever you want about that.
Sure.
You're not going to win many games going the last 6 minutes without a basket. Like it's just like at the end of the day, you got to score to win the game. And they didn't do that. It felt like they ran out of gas a little bit. They really struggled with Michigan's length and size, struggled to defend without fouling, and ended with their first loss of the season to a very, very good Michigan team.
It really reminded me, and it was eerily similar in fashion to Creighton's loss at Seton Hall.
I remember we had a similar conversation after that game of like, should it have been who was it who got tied up by
Austin Swartz?
Did he get fouled when you look back on it? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like when you go that long without making a basket and you leave it in the ref's hands, the chips fall as they do. Yeah.
And it's like the exact same thing. Yeah. Do I think that Sam Hoiberg got his feet set and got in position in time? Yes. Yes, I do. And I think most people in the country agreed with that. Most people outside of Ann Arbor agreed with that. I think a few people in Ann Arbor probably agreed with it. But if you score one, if you make one basket in the final 5 minutes, like you are tempting fate.
Yeah.
You are absolutely tempting fate. And Creighton is obviously not on the level that Nebraska is. And Michigan is certainly not on the level that Seton Hall is, Seton Hall is not on the level that Michigan is, rather, right? But those type of things cost Creighton against a vastly inferior, like a Seton Hall team that's vastly inferior to Michigan.
Yeah.
And so when you go into Ann Arbor and you play this caliber of a team on its home court in that environment and you make one basket in the final 5 minutes, you're asking for trouble.
Yeah.
And the Huskers had a chance to rebound Sunday against Illinois. And as you mentioned, just did not have it for 40 minutes against another one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, and my main takeaway of that game was Nebraska just didn't have the size to compete with Illinois when they weren't making shots.
That was the crazy thing, because they made shots at Michigan. Yeah. Michigan's way bigger than Illinois.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan has a bigger front line, but I think Illinois is bigger, like, you know, throughout the starting five, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Like, even Illinois' guards are like 6'6". Nebraska, the first game against Illinois in Champaign back in December, Nebraska made shots. In the first half against Illinois, Nebraska made shots, and they didn't in the second half. And for a team built like Nebraska, which is built around its smooth flowing offense and, you know, ability to light it up from three.
Yeah.
When they're not doing that, they just didn't have the size or physicality to stay with Illinois. And again, that's not some indictment on the team. That's just like that's their path to victory in a game like that, and they weren't able to do it. And you saw just how much Illinois mucked things up in the half court just with their length. There were so many possessions where it felt like Nebraska did everything right offensively, and throughout the season we've seen it end with a layup or an open three, and it just didn't, because Illinois was so good defensively, just moving and closing out and swallowing up anything in the middle of the floor. I mean, we saw so many guys in Nebraska just get swatted at the rim. Like, there was Zvonimir Ivicic was everywhere. There was
I tipped my cap. That's good.
Thank you.
Former Kentucky Wildcat.
Oh, didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
He's been several places now.
Or no, that's his brother. I'm so sorry. He's at Arkansas.
They're both on Illinois.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shows how much I pay attention to the Big Ten.
He transferred to Arkansas and then to Illinois. Yeah.
Okay.
Tomislav has been the whole time.
Okay.
Anyway, he swatted Cale Jacobson at the rim. He swatted Berke Buchtengel at the rim. Like Illinois had so much length and size that there wasn't much Nebraska could do about it, especially after Keaton Wagler got going, who's a freshman. He might be the best player in the Big Ten right now. He has been unbelievable this season.
Yeah, I mean, we dropped 43, was it? 46? Yeah. Can't remember. He dropped
46.
He dropped 46 on the road at Purdue.
Yeah, which is not an easy place to play.
No, and then came to Lincoln. Yeah. And what had a
28? I think
had 28. Most of that in the second half.
Yeah, yeah. That's the crazy. Nebraska did a great job on him in the first half. Like Jamarcus Lawrence and Sam Hoiberg guarded him, and I thought did a really nice job. He was like 2 for 9 in the first half. He wasn't real efficient, but just like you can only keep a guy like that down for so long, and you're not gonna keep him down for an entire game, and it was inevitable. He was going to wake up, he was going to hit some shots, and that was going to be big in a game like that for Illinois.
Absolutely. The Huskers have plenty of opportunities to get back on track, starting with Saturday's trip to Rutgers.
Yeah, which if you're Nebraska, that's a game you absolutely have to have. You know,
yes.
Rutgers is 2-10 in conference play. You know, what they say, good teams take care of business against bad teams.
Yeah.
And this is a game Nebraska just needs to take care of business.
There's really only two tough games through the next 3 weeks for Nebraska. Every game's tough in the Big Ten, sure. Yeah. But, like, you know, should be.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that is when Purdue comes to Lincoln on February 10th. And when Nebraska goes to Iowa City on February 17th. Otherwise, like, they should take care of Rutgers. Yeah. They should take care of Northwestern. Should beat Penn State. Should beat a really bad Maryland team.
Yeah.
And then you have three to really test you before the Big Ten tournament with USC, UCLA, and the rematch with Iowa. Yeah. This is, like, a very opportune stretch for Nebraska to, one, get back on track, reestablish a flow now that Rink Mast is back to feeling himself, now that Braden Frager is healthy. An overlooked part of Illinois game is that Braden Frager is back.
Yeah, he was fantastic in that game.
And so it's a really, really, really opportune three-week stretch, I think, for Nebraska to get right, continue to be the team that it was through the first 10 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
And then really kind of like ramp things up before
just,
the games start to matter most.
Yeah. And just rack up wins for tournament seeding.
Absolutely.
Purposes. You know, like that Nebraska has they've got their resume building blocks. You know, they've got a road win at Illinois, you know, a win against Michigan State, you know, 30-balling a Wisconsin team that's probably going to be in the tournament, being an Indiana team that it looks like it could be a tournament team on the road. Like, those are kind of the pillars of its resume, and now it just needs, you know, sprinkle some on top of that. Just add up wins, make the record as gaudy as possible, get up to, you know, 25, 26, 27 wins territory.
Creighton, man. Oof. It has been, for sure, the ugliest stretch since I've been on the beat. And this is only the second time in my 3 years covering this team that they've lost that, or three straight. The only other time was at the beginning of last year when they went to Vegas. They had just got it handed to them by Nebraska. Steven Ashworth tweaks his ankle in that game. And then they went to Vegas and got blown out again by San Diego State, and then lost to Texas A&M because they gave up an 8-1 run in the final 50 seconds. So that was the last time they lost three straight. But you knew at that point, it was like, well, one, it's early in the season. They still have plenty of time. And two, like, Ashworth's ankle was tweaked. Yeah. And Kalkbrenner had an injury that most people know about by now. He got kicked. Oh. We probably don't want to be kicked.
Yeah.
And that affected him.
Got a little Jeremy Fears action.
He did. He got a little Jeremy Fears action. And that affected him for a couple of weeks, right? And so it was just like such an odd time, but you knew that team had time and they beat Kansas at home. So there was like, there was hope. And that was long before they won nine straight, right? Like that was crazy enough. But like at that point, there was hope. This is grim. This is not that. We're in February now, and Greg McDermott is still trying to teach his guys effort and communication. That's day one stuff.
Yeah.
And when you had Orion Kalkbrenner, when you had Steven Ashworth, when you had Baylor Shireman, or insert other pivotal seniors over the years, veterans over the years, they kind of impressed that upon to guys on day one with the way they carry themselves. Creighton didn't have that guy this year. And so here we are in February, and this team is still trying to find itself. Have they had some adverse situations along the way? Absolutely, Wilson. Jackson McAndrew, season-ending injury, a handful of games in. The Owen Freeman situation being what it is. They've had some things that they've had to go through. But for this team to lose three straight in this fashion is like not the standard for that program. And so since the last time we talked, they lost at Marquette by 24. Mind you, Marquette was tied for last place in the Big East at the time. And metrically, was one of the worst high major teams in the country. Marquette just lost to Seton Hall over the weekend. So they are now 8-15. And one of those eight wins is a 24-point win over Creighton.
Crazy.
And then we knew it was going to be a tough one. It was an emotional day, of course, with the pink out. We'll talk more about that very shortly. Toward the end of the episode. But the game itself, we knew was going to be a tough one for the Jays, and it absolutely was. Number two, UConn came to town, and really after the first 15 minutes, just kind of took it to Creighton, led by as many as 31. Led by as many as 31, and really just kind of like flexed its muscle from every area of the court. Like Creighton had had so many paint problems lately, as we've documented on here. Before the UConn game, they had given up 50 paint points in 3 of 4 games. When does that happen? You know what I mean? Yeah. And so they kind of helped the paint a little bit, tried to be more sound inside with Jason Green injured and Owen Freeman ailing and Karem Konan still trying to learn the system. And UConn let it rain from deep. So it was like, okay, when you do pack the paint to try and help yourself a little bit, well, now you're vulnerable from outside, and you can't afford that against a team like UConn. I think this is going to sound crazy. I think, like, this UConn team is, like, more whole than the championship teams.
You think so?
And I think a large part of it has to do with their ability to shoot it.
Yeah.
Like, those teams didn't have that.
Yeah.
And this team certainly does. Like, who do you want to leave open? Do you want to leave Solo Ball open? No. Do you want to leave Silas Demery open? No. Caraban? No. Braylon Mullins? No. So, yeah, I think this team is more complete. They haven't played as good as defense, but like Dan Hurley will have them play defense. You know what I mean? So I think that'll be fine in the end. But anyways, Creighton lost that game by 27 at home. So Creighton had lost that one. And then 2 weeks before, 3 weeks before, lost by 17 at home. And a month before that, trailed Kansas State by 20 at home before making it a game in the second half. Like, this season has been everything that this program wasn't through the first half of the decade. There's a 7'1" giant who had a large part in one Creighton's successes over the past 5 years, and now Creighton's shortcomings, his absence having a part in Creighton's shortcomings this season. And then, Wilson, they go to Georgetown. Again, another team that is reeling and has played better. They'd won three straight, but over okay middle of the pack to bottom of the pack Big East teams. And unlike a few weeks ago when Creighton survived Georgetown in Omaha, the Hoyas just took it to the Jays after halftime, really. Like, Creighton led 29-27 at half, and then Nick Graves went out of the game with a foot injury, an apparent foot injury, and Creighton's offense just unraveled. Yeah. So then turnovers led to transition points, and transition points led to a lead that was too much for the Jays to overcome. Ask me why, Wilson.
Why, John? Why did that happen?
Because, Wilson, this team, much like Nebraska, that was built on shot making, has not made shots.
That's got to be the most frustrating thing if you're like Greg McDermott.
Right?
Which is just, you know, like, things happen. Injuries happen.
Yeah.
Like, what is your recourse when a bunch of guys who are supposed to make shots just don't?
Nothing. Like, what are you, you know, what are you supposed to do? If that's the foundation of your team, and you don't have the size to get inside, like, what are you supposed to do? Creighton went 8 of 33 from three against Georgetown.
Jeez. It's below 25%.
So between Marquette, UConn, and Georgetown, Creighton is 20 of 88. That is 22% from beyond the arc. I don't think it's a coincidence that there were two blowout losses and another loss to a team that, for once, didn't score a lot of paint points.
Yeah.
Because this team, built on shot making, has not made shots. And the defense is still not fixed. Like, that's still a problem. Again, they have... Let's go back to January 10th against St. John's. They've given up 90, 83, 93, 93, 86, 85, 76.
That's ugly.
That's real ugly. This team, in the first week of January, was in the mid-40s of KenPom's defensive efficiency, and they've dropped to 119th. They are one of the 30 worst teams in college basketball, all of Division I, in defensive efficiency since January 10th. And for a while, as we had talked about, they were scoring enough to sustain, to weather that.
Yeah.
But it was unsustainable. We knew it was. You can't
consistently give up that much and win games.
No. And so now their offense has faltered. especially over the past three games, 62, 58, 68 points. And because of it, the Jays are now 12-11, 6-6 in Big East play. So this team went from openly talking about a Final Four during the offseason multiple times to now trying to get a first round bye in the Big East tournament.
Which is now their only chance at going to the NCAA tournament.
Huge, huge, huge change in what the season was supposed to be. There's a huge difference in what the season was supposed to be and what the season is. Now it's like, where do you go from here? KenPom has their projected record at 15-16, 9-11 in the Big East. I remember we like to be consistent. If we're going to do something right or wrong, you better do it consistently. Yeah. And I remember saying on our preseason episode of Half Court Press that if Creighton somehow did not make the NCAA tournament, it'd be an utter failure.
Yeah.
And it would be.
Yeah.
And so now, through the final, month of the regular season, which is absolutely insane to say.
Wild.
Where did the time go? The goal is for Creighton to try and find itself and gain momentum before the Big East tournament.
Yeah.
And then once you get there, you're going to have to catch UConn.
Shock the world.
You're going to have to catch UConn or St. John's on an off night, or the Jays are going to have to shoot the lights out of it.
Yeah.
Can you shoot the lights out of the Garden? Like, I don't know. And I just think that's unlikely for this team.
Yeah.
I don't think they match up well with St. John's at all. I don't think they match up too well with UConn. When they're hitting shots, sure. But yeah, I think it's unlikely. And what a fall from grace is that would be.
Yeah.
You know, I did a mailbag earlier this week, and 90% of the questions were about next season. What does a roster look like next season? Yeah. Who coaches next season? Here's three guys. Which two would you keep for next season? You know? And so that's kind of where we are. It's a really, really, really odd time in Creighton land on the hilltop. And we'll kind of see what happens from here, man. I don't know. They've got Saturday, Seton Hall comes to town. Seton Hall does not really have the bucket getters to keep up in a shootout. But Seton Hall is not in very many shootouts because Shaheen Holloway's identity, the identity of Shaheen Holloway's program, always, perennially, is to drag you through the mud and see how long you can swim.
Yeah.
And that's what Seton Hall did in the first meeting on January 4th in Newark. And you bet that is what Seton Hall is going to do again. Because they are fighting for their NCAA tournament life. Like, that's the odd position that Creighton's in now, is it is the sniper instead of the snipe.
Yeah, be the spoiler.
Yeah, so who knows, man? Who knows? What's one thing that you're watching for this weekend, whether it's with the Huskers in the Big Ten? What's one thing you absolutely can't wait to see this weekend?
With the Huskers, I'm watching to see what things look like with a fully healthy and rejuvenated Rink Mast. Because even before he got sick, he had been kind of struggling a little bit. And it's easy to say that. He wasn't hitting shots. And part of the appeal of Rink Mast is he does a lot of things. You know, he's a great facilitator as a big man. He's a great screener. He rebounds. But you're not getting the full Rink Mast experience if he's not knocking down shots. You're not getting the full breadth of his skill set when he's not doing that. So I'm interested to see if this just kind of reset helps him kind of get back on track from deep, which in turn helps Nebraska be the fully realized version of its offense.
St. John's and UConn play for the first time this season.
Hell yeah.
Friday night, Madison Square Garden.
Let's go.
I will be seated for every bit of that basketball game, unless it's like somehow, some way, a blowout that we weren't all expecting. I don't think it will be by any means. But I literally, like, the entire Big East has been waiting for this game, and we'll finally get it.
Yeah.
Friday Night Lights at Madison Square Garden. You got anything else, Wilson?
I don't think so.
One more thing before we do get out of here. For people probably know by now, but we're certainly sad to share that Creighton guard Josh Dix's mom, Kelly, passed away early Wednesday morning after a three-year battle with cancer. And Josh, to his credit, played Wednesday night in the loss to Georgetown, played 30 minutes. So a massive salute to Josh Dix, and we would love to send our condolences to Josh and to his family, and let them know that they're in our thoughts over here at the World Herald. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Half Court Press. A lot of important basketball to be played this weekend.
Still plenty of it.
But just remember, at the end of the day, man, it's just basketball.
Yep.
And some things, a lot of things, are often bigger than that.
Yeah.
If you want to read all of Wilson's stuff, please go to omaha.com. If you want to read all of mine, please go to omaha.com. And if you'd like to read, because we're down to the nitty-gritty of the season, please go to omaha.com. We will talk to you guys next time. See ya.